All right, turn your Bibles, if you would, to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and our subject will be what the Bible says about works. And in this lesson, we're compelled of the Lord to note the unbeliever and his or her works. The unbeliever, his and his or her works. And so we pray that the Lord would help In the study of it. We're thankful for each one who's here this morning, that God would see fit to draw you to Christ and see fit to save you, that those who are saved, we might be built up in Him and upon our most holy faith. Again, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, notice if you would, verse 13 and 14. It says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." Now again, we're going to look, based on the authority of the Scriptures of the Word of God, which is the authority on every subject, we're going to note what it has to say about the unbeliever and his or her works. And we've noted that an individual is not saved by the works of the law or by the works of their own flesh, but rather they're saved by the work of God at Calvary, by grace through faith in Him. And we noted that that work of at Calvary is God's work. He sent His only begotten Son. He offered Him upon the tree of the cross. And it's also the work of God to draw sinners unto Christ. We also noted that when God saves a person, that work is finished, but another work has begun, and that is the making us, fashioning us, and conforming us unto the image of Jesus Christ, and every thought being brought into the subjection of Jesus Christ. This morning, though, we want to note what it says again concerning the unbeliever. And here we have a glimpse in our text verse of verses 13 and 14. The conclusion of the whole matter is to fear God, is to keep His commandments. That's the whole duty of an individual. And then in the latter verse, God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So first of all, I'd like you to turn, and we're going to note several passages of Scriptures, but turn over, if you would, to Romans chapter 3. The book of Romans, chapter 3, and we want to note a description of works by unbelievers. And again, this is what God says about it. He's not just the final authority, He's the only authority on this matter. And again, I want you to notice this, that this is not just the description of works of unbelievers, this is a description of what our Adamic nature only does. The nature that we have received from Adam, our first father who fell from his first estate, and then he has had children since then who have been created in his image. And this is a description throughout the Word of God that tells us this truth about what our works are. So in Romans 3, and notice, if you would, verse 12, it says, "They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." Now that flies in the face of what we're told today, isn't it? We're told today that, well, people are basically good people. But that's not what Scripture says. Not only that, we have to understand here that we have children, and the other day I was conversing with a friend of ours, and I asked her, I said, would you mind babysitting and watching four really well-behaved, good children? Now that's a description, and again, goodness and well-behavior is based upon something, isn't it? And in comparison to someone else, they might be well-behaved and good. And in comparison to other children, they might not be well-behaved and good. But in comparison to the righteousness of God and what His requirements are, there are none that do good. There are none. And you know, we have folks, and this isn't to say that we can't tell young people when they do something that, well, you did a good job. It's kind of like people say, well, you shouldn't say, I'm proud of you, or I'm proud of the work that I've done. There's a difference in the proud that the Bible talks about, and then in saying, when you get done building something, or working on something, or something that you've done, you say, well, I'm really proud of this. I mean, you put in some effort and work and energy into doing something, you can be. And you can also thank God at the same time. But there's a difference. And so when we talk to our children, when we talk to them, and we've got some really good kids here in the church, I want you to understand, especially you that are here in Lost, that doesn't meet the standard of God's righteousness. That's not the same thing. And we can sit here and look, and we could come up with all sorts of examples of different things. But the reality is, God says, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Now, why is that? Well, let's note Scripture. Turn over to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. You know, the Bible tells us, and it gives us a principle, a way in which we can understand things, and it teaches us that like begets like. In fact, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 12, God said that the tree brings forth fruit, and that fruit has a seed in it that's going to bear after its kind. So, for instance, we have some oak trees here, and what's in those oak trees? Well, they produce acorns, don't they? And what's in the acorn? The seed of the tree. And so it produces another oak tree. And that's the same thing with apple trees and lemon trees and so on and so forth. They're going to produce their own kind. Well, that's the same thing when it involves humanity. Like begats like. And whatever kind of a tree it is, whatever kind of a person it is, that's what it's going to produce. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, if you would, notice verse 17, even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. Every good tree brings forth good fruit. And yet in Romans 3 and verse 12, we are told, we are told there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Why is that? Why is it that they're not doing good? Because they're not good. That's why. He goes on in this verse, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. So here you have this wonderful truth that's brought out. Excuse me one moment. That the reason that good fruit is not coming forth from them, the reason that they're not doing good, is because they're not a good tree. They're a corrupt tree, and they're producing evil or wickedness. This is what God says about the works of unbelievers. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. That's what He says about our sinful nature that we come into this world with. That's it. Now, if you look as well, and you can turn over with me to Romans chapter 13 and verse 12. Romans chapter 13 and verse 12. The Bible describes it as works of darkness. Works of darkness. Again, what the Bible says about works, and we're dealing with the works of unbelievers. Romans 13 and verse 12. It says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. In this passage of Scripture, Paul is writing unto saints of God at Rome, and he's telling them, he says, listen, the night is far spent. The reference here is, we are so very close to the day of Jesus Christ. We are close to the time when the Lord is going to bring us home, and we're going to be with Him, so we need to cast off the works of darkness. We need to quit sinning, is what he says. And we need to put on the armor of light. The Bible tells us in John 3 and verse 19 that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Their deeds are evil. You remember the religious people of Christ's day, the Pharisees. Remember what Christ said about them? He called them a bunch of whited sepulchres. He called them hypocrites. Sure, they kept an outwardness of the law. Sure, they went to synagogue all the time. They tithed of all that they had. They fasted twice in a week. And they prayed and they read scriptures and they probably kept the scriptures in the phylacteries on their foreheads and bound all the things that they were supposed to do. But they were dead spiritually. They were workers of darkness and their deeds were evil. Look in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Here the Bible refers unto wicked works. And again, there's no neutrality in this. It's light or darkness. It's not shade, it's light or dark. It's not it's good or evil. It's good or wicked. There's no middle ground. In Colossians 1 and verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of His cross by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say whether they be things... I'm sorry, that's verse 20. Whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, verse 21, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind... by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled. God has taken us who were, as it says, alienated and enemies in our minds by wicked works. Our works are described as being wicked. Look, if you would, in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And here... there's a contrast between the work of the flesh and the work of the Spirit. And in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19, he begins to describe, and he says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And just in your head, as you read over these things, you're not going to find a single good thing about these. In Galatians 5 and verse 19... I mean, you can't even take one of these and make it and go, well, okay, that, yeah, but in some ways, this will be okay. Because in verse 19 it says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery. Is there ever a time when that's okay? I can't think of one. And Scripture doesn't ever mention it. He goes on in the next verse. Fornication, again, nothing good about it. Uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. There's not one thing about that where you can say, well, yeah, but this one time, it was all right. It was never all right. The works of the flesh are these. That's it. This is God saying, this is all the flesh does. This is all the flesh will ever do. This is all that it is capable of. It's not able to do anything but this. These are the works of the flesh. And then He tells us what they are. He goes in this and he continues, he says, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And then he tells us about the fruit or the work of the Spirit of God. What this work of the Holy Spirit produces in God's people. Verse 22, just so we can see the great difference, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Well, I mean, I don't think when you have an adulterous relationship, there's a whole lot of love there, is there? And you can say the same thing for all of these things. If you murdered somebody, there's not a lot of love there, is there? Joy and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. What a contrast between the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. If you turn over to John chapter 8, the Gospel of John chapter 8, the Lord Jesus talking to religious people who were lost of His day. And again, this is still true. He describes the works of unbelievers, and he calls it the lust of the devil. In John chapter 8, beginning at verse 38, he tells him, he says, I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. Verse 39, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but He sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You have your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. So he describes, again, the works of unbelievers here, and he describes it in verse 44. He says, and the lust of your father, meaning Satan, the devil, ye will do. And so here we find this wonderful truth, and it's all wrapped up. And no doubt there's many other verses which describe the works of the unregenerated man, woman, boy, or girl. But we find that these may suffice to show us that their works, there is none that doeth good, is there? And as Isaiah said, all of our righteousness, all of our works put together, made, taking the very best of which I've done as a lost sinner, it's as a filthy rag. That's the best you can do. It's to produce a vile, wretched, stained rag. Well, let's notice as well, if you'll turn over to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 down through verse 31, that we also find that the Bible tells us that lost sinners, unregenerate, they reject the work of Christ at Calvary. This is something that we do. Something that I did for years until the Lord saved me. It's something that I would still be doing if God had not intervened. In Hebrews 10 and verse 26 it says, for if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. So here's the old law of Moses, and it says that, well, there was no mercy in that law, and if you had two or three witnesses who could say that you did something, then they killed you, they stoned you. And remember, there was a fellow who, he picked up some sticks on the Sabbath day. It's not like he went out and murdered somebody. It's not like he stole from somebody. There were sticks out there. They were laying in the ground. They didn't have anybody's name on it. And he went out there and he picked them up. And they stoned him for it because he broke the Sabbath. The next verse says, "Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace." Hath trodden underfoot. You know what that phrase means? It means they took no notice of it. Think about, and I remember that someone, either I read it or I heard an individual make this comment, trodden underfoot. Sit down. You come in this door, you come in that door, and you walk through that door, that threshold, and you walk through it, and you don't pay attention to anything you're stepping over. But it doesn't say it doesn't say here who has stepped underfoot the Son of God. It says trodden. You look up the word trodden, and it's a lot different than just a simple step, isn't it? I think about horses, they trod, don't they? I mean, you get a horse comes through something, and I mean, it can tear up the ground pretty good. The idea conveyed here is that it was done knowing what it was and yet had no thought for it whatsoever. Kind of like the one fellow who the Scriptures say when Paul had been preaching the gospel and the Jews had brought him, he says he cared for none of those things. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye? Do you think an individual who has heard the gospel preached unto them time and again, who has rejected Christ as his own or her own Savior, they have trodden it underfoot. How much more sore punishment are they worthy of? They have ignored the work of God at Calvary. They have no use for it. They are either busy seeking, as Paul said in Romans 10, seeking to establish their own righteousness as the nation of Israel did, or, as one writer indicated, they simply don't care for those things. They're more concerned with the very lusts that this life provides. The Bible says, one writer stated, the rejection of Christ is the all-inclusive sin. We read the list there in Galatians 5 and verse 19, the works of the flesh. I don't have time to go through each individual work of flesh, but we probably all committed every single one of them. Amen. And yet, we've been saved by the grace of God. These here, committing those things, there's people in this world today who we might say, well, they're a morally good person, but they've rejected the work of Jesus Christ at Calvary. Amen. There are people in this world who have not done things that you and I have done. Yet they will not enter in to the very presence of God. They will not inherit the kingdom of God because they have not received Jesus Christ as Savior. Because they have not had repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 3 and verse 19 that Israel could not enter into the land of Canaan because of unbelief. An entire generation wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. They could not enter in the land because of unbelief. And every lost sinner who has rejected Jesus Christ as Savior will not enter in to the presence of God because of unbelief. They will not be afforded an entrance. In spite of all the fulfilled prophecies of Christ, in spite of the preaching of the gospel, in spite of the pleadings of the saints and of the church, as Revelation 22:17 says, and the Spirit and the Bride say, "Come," and let him that that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Yet they have rejected the Lord Jesus. See, there's not a person here this morning who has done good that's going to go to heaven. Everybody here falls under the first point we made, that all our works are as filthy rags. None of us have done good. We're an evil tree or a corrupt tree, and we produce evil fruit. But the reason that some are going to heaven is because of the work of Jesus Christ at Calvary. Amen. And faith in that finished work. Amen. That's it. It's not because they didn't sin as much as you. It's not because they didn't commit this specific sin and you have. It is because of the saving grace of God in His Son Jesus. Amen. That is it. For there is no other name given among men under heaven whereby you must be saved than the Lord Jesus Christ. And then if you'll turn over to Revelation chapter 20, what does the Bible say about works pertaining to the lost and the unregenerate man? It tells us that one day his works will be judged. One of my favorite psalms, written by Asaph. Asaph struggled with some things. And one of it was, he said, I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. You understand that. A lot of people today, you look around about you and say, how in the world can these vile, contemptible people, how can they continue to prosper, yet they do so wickedly? Well, one day, they too shall be judged. In Revelation 20, verse 11, it says this, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, the Bible tells us twice, verse 12 and verse 13, it says that this judgment is a judgment. Every man is judged according to their works. According to their works, it says. The book shall be opened. It will be manifested, the work of their entire life. In this judgment, the wicked are subject to various degrees of retribution, since they are judged according to their works. There appear to be, at the great white throne judgment, because they have not been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. This judgment is not to determine whether they are saved or lost. That's already been determined. The Bible says that you're condemned already in John 3:18. Rather, this is because no man can be saved by his own works. This is not to determine whether one is saved. This is not God taking your good works and putting it over here in this balance, and taking your evil works and putting it over here in this balance, and if your good works outweigh your bad works, you'll go to heaven. That's not what this is. Amen. Because if that's what this was, let me tell you right now, there will be nothing on the good work side, and everything will be on the evil side, and you will not be going to heaven. What it is to see the degree of punishment. It is the sentencing phase. You've already been condemned, and now it is time to exact the sentence. Just like they do in our own court system. You're found guilty, and then there's a sentencing phase. There are mitigating circumstances, and there are aggravating circumstances. And God will open the books, and it will be manifest unto you. God will reveal, God will show, just like it was said there to the rich man in hell when he sought for Abraham to do some things. And remember what Abraham said? He said, "Son, remember." God's going to reveal some things, and He is going to just like we might give somebody a longer sentence, He's going to give someone a greater degree of punishment. Here shall all those rejectors of this perfect work of Jesus Christ at Calvary spend eternity in flames of fire separated from God. This is their end. This would be our end if it were not for God and His grace. And you that have rejected Christ thus far, this is your end. This is where you're headed. And you may get there sooner than you think. The Bible tells us that this day is fast approaching. That one day the wicked shall stand and they shall give an account and be judged according to their works. Your only hope is to turn to Jesus and seek for His grace and mercy. There's no work you can do that's going to save you. But God has already done the work of salvation. We pray that God would draw you unto His Son Jesus Christ, that you might believe upon Him, that you might have godly sorrow that leadeth to repentance, not to be repented of, and that you might come unto the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. But if not, be it known, this is what God says about your works. You can dress them up all you like. The fact remains is that they are works of the flesh. They are deeds of wickedness. They are filthy rags. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. You have rejected the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And this is the end for everyone who does. Won't you flee to Christ this very day and be saved? While we stay, and as the song leader comes, we want to sing a verse this morning.